Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! They are not Groot, but they are your hosts, Pete LePage and Justin Tyler!
Yeah! Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that is our fantastic announcer.
Yeah, Kenny.
Kenny Farmer.
Yeah.
If we can say your full name. Follow him on Facebook. A great artist and covered in tattoos. So what more can you ask for? Thank you guys for coming out tonight. It's a hot center of the summer right now, so you know it's hard to do anything.
It's actually been very cool and enjoyable.
Okay, yeah. Well, it depends on where you are.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's hot somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
In New York City, it's nice and cool.
I'm getting married in a few weeks.
Yeah! Look at that. Congratulations.
I know. It's great to... You know, it's fun because the wedding, it's an important event, but it's all about having your friends get together. And, you invite them all. And I invited Pete LePage.
Yeah.
And Pete, let me know. Are you attending the wedding?
You know, I'd love to be there, but I'd hate to spoil your special day.
Oh, you hate to spoil it?
Yeah, I hate to, you know, because I'd probably get drunk and say something and your wife would hate me.
I've already planned on responses. Like, I know you're going to say something.
Oh, man.
I was going to have a whole part of my vows. We were going to review a couple of comics in front of the vows.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that would be really romantic.
Yeah, I know. My future wife is going to get a real kick out of it. Yeah. Here she is at the show, right?
Oh, nope, she's not here.
No, it doesn't come. Used to come, doesn't come anymore.
Yeah, does not come anymore.
Gets it, doesn't come. Yeah. Ask questions occasionally. Who's the guy, the angry one? And I'm like, I don't know. He's not coming to my wedding. Guys, we have a very exciting show for you.
We do. Enough of this pettiness.
Enough of this pettiness, though. It's an important event. You know, and we invited this man to do the show, and he showed up, so let's give him a round of applause.
Yeah!
The Emmy Award-winning Mr. Dean Haspiel!
Yeah! Welcome to the show, sir. Please have a seat. Thank you so much for coming.
Come on
we appreciate
up.
It.
Come on down.
Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you know, it's an open invite. So come back anytime.
You did ask me a few times, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to come till tonight.
Oh, it's true. Well, we worked out. You're
on the coolest night of the summer.
Yeah.
Nice.
By the way.
Okay.
It has been actually really cool.
Temperate.
My girlfriend was in Saratoga Springs this last weekend, and one of the guys at the horse races and stuff, and he said, we're a month off. He thinks that everything is off askew by a month in terms of weather.
Oh, so it
makes sense.
It's getting cooler now. Yeah. But, you know, it's just because of global warming and everything like that.
I bet that guy has a lot of theories about stuff.
He has to. Yeah. He deals with horses.
Hey, man, I'm a horse trainer. We're a month off.
Yeah, we're a month off, man.
Very cool. I guess maybe I should walk around wearing a North Face shirt. Maybe that's why I'm so
or
hot.
We could just take the shirts off because, you know.
That's the second or third time you said that. So just whenever you're ready, I'm going to follow your lead on
just a metrosexual
tearing my clothes off. I know we were all in such great shape, so we should definitely take our shirts off.
We're comic book readers and makers, so of course.
Yeah, exactly.
All that sitting helps.
It does.
Yeah, I read my comics doing a dead sprint every single week. Wednesday I go get them and just run all the way up to.
I have my comics up here, and I do a sit-up, read a panel, go back down.
There you go. Wow, that's an intense workout.
Yeah.
That's why you never know what we're talking about on this show.
Exactly.
You read two panels, you're like, I'm going to go watch Chris Farley movies for the next couple hours.
Why is that man panting reading comics?
Yeah, exactly. Pete, your comics are covered in sweat, and you only read the first two pages. So, Dean, you do a lot of things right now. I mean, how many comic book creators have an Emmy?
A few, actually.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Cool.
Zeb Wells.
Oh, yes.
Has a Emmy.
Oh, right, of course. For
Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
A few of us, you know, the chosen few. As
do, you, do you bring your Emmys to a secret place and all, like...
You know, I go to sleep to it, and I wake up to it. It's on my dresser, and I
to contemplate it? What does that mean? You go to sleep to it.
It's a visual, too.
Yeah, okay. Oh, great. I will ask not one more question about what that means.
But, I was contemplating doing a Flavor Flav type thing and wear it around my neck.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool.
But I decided that would be kind of obnoxious, I think, or something.
Ever has called Flavor Flav obnoxious.
No, not him. So, Deanie Weenie wearing an Emmy around his neck might be obnoxious.
Deanie Weenie, I remember your short-lived rap career.
But, I reserve that for when you enter my domain.
Right.
Then you get to see it.
Okay, cool, yeah. Well, let's take the show over to your place and get a real look. I bet that won't be the most exciting
thing. And on this podcast, we could just describe it.
Yeah,
what,
right.
What it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Shiny. It's yes, I've got an Emmy, but not a lot of people have that in the comics industry, and it doesn't get me more work, if that would be the leading question, because that doesn't matter.
Oh, no?
Maybe an Eisner, you know, because that's our, industry equal to the Oscar, would you
I believe
say,
so,
you know?
Yeah, that sounds alike.
But I do a lot of comics. I hopscotch around between mainstream and indie.
Yeah, let's break it down. So you're doing, or you just finished, you just released a couple weeks ago, I think, a collection of The Fox,
right.
Which is a
so
great book.
So I did a five-issue miniseries called The Fox for Archie.
Yeah.
And under the imprint of Red Circle, mm-hmm. which now recently is going to transition to Dark Circle come early next year.
Oh, shit.
And under the guise of the leadership of Alex Segura, mm-hmm. who actually worked at Archie, then went to DC, and now he's back at Archie.
Yes. He came on the show recently and announced the death of Archie right here on this
yes.
show.
Yes. Oh, he announced it here? It was
yes,
like a...
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
I kind of had a problem with that when I heard that. And I said something, as other people did. And then I realized, okay, well, let's see how that works out. And actually, did you read the comic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I read it.
It was brilliant. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, no, it was... And it was so... It was, like, intense in ways I didn't expect. It was like JFK.
It really was.
There was all this, like, and imagery and
Paul
shit.
Paul Kupperberg did such a great job with, like, not answering the question.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which one? That was so beautiful.
It is, and that's a rare thing. It's amazing that the surreal legacy of Archie is like, well, we don't know which girl he wanted.
I know. Well, that's exactly.
That's his great contribution
exactly.
to
that
the world.
That is his great contribution.
Does he like blondes or brunettes? We'll never know.
Yeah. So I did this five-issue miniseries called The Fox, and basically it was a character created by Joe Blair and Irwin Hasen in 1940, okay? And then he kind of languished, and they did some... he was part of the Mighty Crusaders. He had mm-hmm. his own little stories within some of the pet comics and whatnot, and, you know, during the Golden Age, and then he transitioned to Silver Age. But he really didn't have the kind of, like, life... like a Batman or any of those characters. Mm. And then in the 1980s, when I was picking up comics off what was called the newsstand back then.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Newsstand? Is that like a music stand?
It's like a music stand, but with news.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And comic books.
Strange place.
Yeah, very strange. So I would go there, and, you know, I was like a big Marvel and DC fan, mm-hmm. but when you're hungry for comics, you'll look at anything.
Certainly.
So there was the Archies, and then there was this thing called Red Circle Comics. And a comic book called Black Hood came out, so I grabbed a copy.
Yeah, I actually loved that book.
You did?
Yeah.
So you remember that from the 80s?
Yeah, Black Hood, and they rebooted them also in the 90s. Which,
yes, they did.
Maybe where...
With DC, I believe, or someone else.
Yeah, and they were it was a little darker. Yeah, it was Impact Comics.
Impact, that's right. So anyway, what happened in the 80s is I picked up Black Hood, but I discovered The Fox via Alex Toth. Mm. And like then I was kind of like... I was a big George Perez, John Byrne, Ron Wilson fan, but then, you know, I'm starting to discover who this Jack Kirby guy is, who, as we know, co-created the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Okay. So then I'm starting to pay attention to names. So I looked at The Fox. I was enamored by it. It was so different from the other comics I'd seen. It had a very noir flavor. It had a sophisticated simplicity to it. And it was about a guy who had no superpowers. And I thought that was weird and cool.
Yeah.
So I kind of remembered that. And Alex Toth's name stuck out to me. And then a few years later, I became the assistant to... Bill Sienkiewicz, Howard Chaykin, and Walter Simonson in the same year at Upstart Studios. And Chaykin is a huge Toth fan. So I kind of remembered that. And then I got introduced to his romance comics and everything else he did. But it always stuck out to me that he did this superhero comic.
You know?
And he only did two of them. Okay. So anyway, years go by. And I know that there were other iterations of these Red Circle heroes. But I didn't really pay as much attention. And the comics start to expand. I discover American Splendor by Harvey Pekar. Mm-hmm. Gimme Furs by Chester Brown. And, you know, I realized that my dream of becoming a penciler of Fantastic Four transitioned to, oh, maybe I'll write and draw my own comics. You know, they could be autobio or they could be superhero or any kind of genre. So I kind of was baited by that and challenged. So I wasn't confident or uncomfortable to write comics, so I collaborated a lot with other writers. But little by small, I started to write my own stuff. I created this character called Billy Dogma, which we'll talk about in a second.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah.
And so... Long story short, because I did a bunch of comics, at some point, my friend Vito Del Sante, told me he did a comic, which I believe was with Black Hood, okay, a six-pager with Chris Cross for Red Circle. They were doing these six-page backups for the New Crusaders or something's going to come online. Or it never came out. It never came out, this
that
story.
That was like
a few years ago.
Yeah, something
New
like
Crusaders
that.
Miniseries. So then I said, can I talk to your editor, please? Because I like the box. So I had done this character called the Red Hook while at ACA, the Atlantic Center for the Arts. I was just playing around with an idea of like a superhero thief, but he looked a lot like the Fox. He's this guy that's in red instead of blue, okay? Mm. And you can see his eyeballs instead of not. Anyway, that was about the difference.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a big one, but
if I encounter someone in my daily life and I can or cannot see their eyeballs, I have a very different reaction.
Well, and then there's Clark Kent. So anyway, don't open the can of worms. So I showed the Red Hook six-pager or eight-pager I did and to the editor, and I said, I love the Fox. He said, oh, that's really cool. Could you write up a six-page story? And I did. He liked it, proved, and then went to draw it. And then after that six pages, they showed it around the office, and he came back at me and said, how about doing a five-issue miniseries?
Wow.
I was like, what?
Wow, that was great.
I was like, all right. And I had a bunch of ideas. In fact, I dusted off an old idea of basically it was a crossover of all the pulp heroes, like The Shadow, Doc Savage. Gosh, who else is there? Give me Green Hornet, Spider, those kinds of guys. And I kind of threw in there and Conan and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I changed it to be the Fox and then other characters from the Red Circle line, some of the lesser-known characters. And then I devised this idea, spoiler alert, there's a thing that happens where there's a backup feature in the Fox that stars the Shield. And at one point toward the last issue, the Shield in this 1940s World War II story meets up with our hero in the fifth issue to complete this story. But that was kind of like a twist. Anyway, that was part of the idea I had that I pitched. He really liked it. I always wanted to work with Mark Waid, who's one of my favorite writers.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I could write this, but I am, in fact, writing the story and plotting it, kind of old Marvel method where, like, Jack Kirby would write or draw the story and tell Stan Lee this is what's happening, and then Stan Lee would finesse it with his words.
Right.
So that's the kind of relationship we had, you know? Yeah, basically auteuring. So, according to Arlen Schumer, everybody.
Yeah, I know.
So
he works our lexicon here at Comic Book Club. He just tosses out terms we need to know.
So I did that, and Mark was game to basically write over my pictures, and we would have a conversation. In fact, an hour ago before this podcast, I had a conversation with him about the next series, which I'll talk about in a second. And then I wanted to. I've always loved J.M. DeMatteis, his work.
Yeah.
I grew up with his Captain America and all the comics he's done. And one of my studio mates, Mike Cavallaro, they had collaborated, JMD and Cav, on Savior 28, The Life and Times of Savior 28, which is kind of like a Captain America character. Mm. And The Shield was a character that's actually created before Captain America. But, you know, whatever. That's for the history books.
Yeah.
then...
I think The Shield lost.
The Shield might have lost.
I don't want to go and be the ref, but
let's just say VHS beta.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
VHS 1. That's what happened there.
But beta...
Yeah.
I had one.
I had one, too, actually.
It was cool. The tapes were easier to put in your bag.
You know, what? It was a big, like, machine, like a briefcase, right? And I remember taping on beta the first time Harvey Pekar was on David Letterman.
Wow.
Because I heard there was going to be a comic book writer on there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I can't wait to see what one looks like and how they sound, a comic book writer.
And you were like, oh, no.
What? And then fucking Darkseid comes on.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, tell me. People ask me, well, how do you draw Picard? And I said, I'm drawing Darkseid. Anglo-Saxon
tone. Just lightly.
Tone.
I mean, even sort of. Great.
Yeah. I mean, see, he kind of looks like Darkseid to me. Anyway, so that was my introduction to a comic book writer. And then years later, I'd work with him. But so I did this miniseries. It's called Freak Magnet. It was collected into a graphic novel about a month ago under the Archie Red Circle imprint. And that's out right now. And then I've just wrapped up the first issue of the next Fox series, which is an ongoing now. And I've got the first five issues plotted out. And again, like I said, I was talking to Mark Waid about the first issue script just today. I've drawn that. And that's going to be called Fox Hunt. And that'll be coming out early 2015. And we're going to amp it up a little bit. Basically, he's pissed off a really rich guy who's kind of done with this guy's antics, this hero's antics, who's this reluctant hero in the first place. And he kind of hires all the different villains in the city to go get him for $1 million.
Oh, wow.
You know? And that's what launches it, you know? But it becomes much more surreal from that.
That's the hunt part.
The hunt, exactly.
We'll see. Wait till 2015. You never know. They could go on an actual fox hunt in an ironic twist. Think about it. That's what irony means. So are you, is it going to be ongoing, you and Mark, or are you going to rotate through different writers?
I think right now we're just focusing on this, and I don't know if it's going to be a case of like Saga, where you take a little break and you figure out what to do next and how, you know, feel the temperature, as it were, you know? Mm. So we're going to like go gangbusters on this first arc and see what happens. But the intent is an ongoing. We'll see where that goes. And yeah, you know, I don't mind taking a break. I don't own this character. You know, I'm having fun with the Fox. In a way, it's kind of a love letter to superhero comics because I haven't ever really done a full-length superhero comic. I've dabbled.
Right.
I've done little shorties here and there, right?
Shorties.
And for me, this was like, you know, with how bleak comics have become, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it while reviewing the stack.
We have dark hearts.
Dark hearts, and you enjoy it. It feeds you, these dark comics. I like a good horror film, but I don't want superheroes to be subsumed by horror.
Yeah.
You know, that's an occasional thing.
Right.
And I feel like we've got too much of that. And when I sit down to read a superhero comic, I want to escape, and I want to feel a sense of hope. You know, maybe I'm being a little corny, but that's how I feel.
No, I mean, we talk a lot about in the show about how there's not a lot of humor in comics anymore.
Right,
for many years in the
or sort of hope the, or hope
or hope.
Comics. Yeah,
that's
right.
True.
There's no hope.
But there's a little Hulk.
There's a Hulk. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if Pete, if the Hulk was, you wouldn't like me when I'm hopeful.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I have a feeling you wouldn't be a huge fan of him if he was just like, let's go to, let's take a boat ride. You'd be like, I'll just hang out over here.
Yeah. No. But with that in mind, like, I feel like, you know, back in the day, you know, there used to be a villain or like it was some corporate guy was taking over, or you'd have like George Reeves bend a gun into a pretzel. And that was like a heroic moment, you know.
Right.
Now it's the apocalypse over and over again.
Yeah.
It's when did the apocalypse get boring?
Yeah. Right. You know? I know. It's like, what city can we destroy today? They bend the gun into a bigger gun.
A bigger gun.
Shoot the city
with an invisible cosmic bullet that just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Or something. So no, I mean, and again, I don't mind a good riff on that, but when it's constant, that's where it has to change. I feel in a way that was part of the success of Fox Freak Magnet story, was that nobody saw that coming. So when they went to go read it, they're like, oh, wait a second, this is kind of fun. What's that about? I forgot that, you know? So I was picking up on the stuff that I read in the 80s and then going backwards and looking at those old Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko comics, you know, and getting that sense. And hopefully that's what I was, you know, performing in my book, in my work.
Well, I mean, you and Mark on the book, like both very like sort of bright comic. His Daredevil take is just so... In that direction, amazing. A character that has been just the darkest journey
for the last
10 years.
Actually, I mean, he kind of pulled the wool over our eyes, Mark Waid with Daredevil. Like, it was all, like, you know, fun and sexy, and then it got heavy.
It has gotten a little heavy lately, and I'm sort of confused. I don't know where...
That's also really cool because the art is so bright and cheerful like, it makes it that much better.
But Chris Samnee knows how to rock the noir.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he rocks.
That guy's got skills.
Yep.
And let's talk about some of your other stuff real quick. Fear, my dear. You were saying your dreams were to work on your solo stuff and then also work on Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And you're literally doing both of those things
now. And more.
Yeah, and more. So you're literally living your dreams.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're living your newsstand dreams when you would doff your little cap and be
12
like,
years
someday?
Old. Yep. Yeah. I don't think I ever wore a hat, but that's cool.
You
my
never
metaphorical
wore a hat?
Hat. My metaphorical hat.
Get this
a ski mask many times.
You would rob the newsstand?
No, that's what happened. Yeah. I got robbed in a ski mask.
Yeah.
But no, it is kind of crazy that I've had this opportunity to actually draw Fantastic Four, and I mean canon Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Like, not just like a what if, or I did this 4-issue miniseries with Evan Dorkin in 2001 called The Thing, Night Falls on Yancey Street, but it wasn't canon.
Yeah, right.
It was a what if, because, you know, there's true superhero comics and there's fake superhero comics. But I got this chance to draw this flashback in the original Sin storyline of Fantastic Four recently, and I got to draw the more of the Silver Age style, which is, you know, is my wheelhouse.
That's your business.
So, and I was excited to be able to do that. And then I drew a Batman 66. I recently just completed a Wonder Woman story for Sensation Comics coming out soon.
Nice. Awesome.
And that's a more of a Golden Age thing, and that's written by Neil Clyde.
Awesome.
And yes, with Billy Dogma, which is a character I created in 1995, which is basically my love letter to the insanity of love. Okay.
Whoa.
And I know you're getting married soon, so.
Yeah, so I get it. Yeah.
And the reason why you're
really. Yeah, you're insane, bro.
No, I am insane. No. I'm insane.
Well, love is crazy. But I was going to say, the reason why your relationship probably will work is because your fiance is not here.
That's exactly right. That's exactly absolutely right. Accurate. So,
yeah. Actually, did you?
And I never go to her comic book podcast.
Yeah.
How he stays separate.
That's separate but equal.
Separate. Yeah.
That's pretty. So I did that. I actually created this character in 95, Billy Dogma, and I told these little stories. And then in 2006, I kind of revamped the character when I created Activate, which was a webcomics collective. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And what I wanted to do there, one of the reasons why I did that was because not only was I working home alone all the time, and I discovered this live journal platform where I could have virtual office mates, where you kind of like you're drawing by yourself, and then you go to the computer and like, hi everybody, kind of like what we do now. It was social networking.
Right.
That was earlier on. But then I discovered there are other artists, and they were sharing little sneak peeks of what they were working on. And I was like, you know what? There's enough of us. Why don't we kind of do this thing where we have a webcomics collective where we put up original content? And there were some naysayers like, wait, and do it for free? I was like, yeah, but you know what? We're all working on different gigs right now, and you disappear. Like, I was working on probably Harvey Pekar's The Quitter at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I disappear. I go away. And then it comes out, and you get a week or two of some hype, and then you're gone again. This way, I get to exist on a weekly basis with new work. Okay?
It's important to exist.
And
constantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Metaphysically as well.
Yeah, certainly.
So, but I was like, that was part of my idea, is to have this online 24/7 resume, you know, that's constantly updating itself. Meanwhile, you are working on another graphic novel at the same time. Okay? Mm. So I did Immortal with Billy Dogma, and I did a story called Fear My Dear, and that was 2 years concurrently, and that's what comprises this print edition called Fear My Dear. And then I've done other Billy Dogma stories since then. So I get to kind of dabble with this character and my concerns of love and loyalty and the cosmos through this character.
Holy shit.
Good luck, bro.
Now I'm going to flesh out my comic book reviewing vows with a reading from Fear My Dear.
Thank you.
She's going to get a real kick out of that.
Yeah, I'm sure she's going to love that.
Mm. Well, awesome. That sounds like a lot of very exciting, dream-fulfilling stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations.
My dream's fulfilled. I can do other things now.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Or dream another dream, or go to sleep.
Yeah, well, that'll one leads to the other. And speaking of that, let's move on to our next section, which we like to call the Staff. In the Staff, we talk about a bunch of comics that came out this very week.
That's right.
And we
the week that we're currently in.
The week we're living in, we're existing in, which, as we said, we already established, is hugely important. And we're going to talk about them, go to bat for them, and just live inside them. First up, we're going to pick a little, talk about a comic called Batman Eternal, number 19.
Yeah. A couple people like it.
One enthusiastic fan with big hands.
Just so you know, this isn't, if you're like, oh man, what's this Batman Eternal like, this is not a good issue to jump in on.
Right. It's a lot of stuff happening, but the art is beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's a great, if you just like pictures.
If you missed a couple, because this comes out weekly, which is amazing, because I was like, missed a couple issues, I'm sure it can jump right in. Nope.
Oh, no?
Yeah.
How many sit-ups did you get through for this one?
About four.
Four, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I look forward to your review.
Yeah.
So this, it's a weekly comic, so there's a lot of stuff going on at once. And DC releases a lot of weekly comics. It's sort of like their thing, it seems like. And this is a good one. This one has a lot of diverse storylines, but most of them are great. And a lot of the characters are doing a lot of different things, but they're still being themselves, which I feel like is missing from a lot of the other DC weekly series.
Yeah, what I really like,
past, present, and most likely future.
What I really liked about this issue is, even though there's so much going on, they really take beats where you get to have some really amazing moments to kind of yes and what you were saying.
And the
Batgirl moment I thought was so amazing.
Yeah, Batgirl was being confused by this villain, and Red Hood had to go battle her. She thought, there's a great line in here where she thinks that he's the Joker, and he's like, you don't know how fucked up that is for me to be confused for the Joker.
Yeah.
And it's just a great little like joke that isn't like dwelled upon. Like, it was just really fun. Scott Snyder's Batman book gets so much press, and he's actually working on this as well. But this book is... I've enjoyed it just as much as the main
book. I mean, you said this is a weekly comic. I know actually some of these guys working on it, but I didn't realize there's 5 writers listed here.
Yeah, there's a lot of writers, and I don't know how that works either, if they break out the different storylines or they're all just like, I'll take over for a while.
Well, is there like 2 or 3 stories concurrently running in an issue?
Yes.
Is that what
there's
it is?
Like, there's like all this evil shit underneath Arkham Asylum, like sort of.
Yeah, there's an amazing line talking about that.
Yeah,
where they sum up Gotham in a way that I think
Jim Gordon is in jail for shooting someone, and he was like under some sort of magic or some sort of superpower spell.
Now, is this a horror comic? Only because I'm looking at Joker, and he looks like Leatherface.
Right. Well, Joker recently, well, not even recently anymore, had his face removed.
Right, that I remember.
His face off, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is just she's kind
of imagining that. That's not real.
You know how you just you know how you're walking around, you get on the subway, and you imagine the Joker's mutilated face on another person.
Yeah, that's happened
in the background.
Yeah, like someone pushes you in the subway, and you're like, "Fuck you, Joker!" And then
and then pretty soon you got to bail Pete out of jail for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Now, guys, seriously, have you thought about the whole face coming up? Like, is he going to glue it back on? What do you think?
What's the fix for that?
What's the fix?
I don't know. Joker's face from Earth 10 will come
got
and
it.
Replace
okay.
it. That's what I would assume. I don't know. I mean, once you take the face off, also, there's a character named Joker's daughter who wears his face.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right? That's
well,
how
I mean,
works.
That's kind of, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be the Joker
in
the
comics.
Like, it's one thing to, like, have your face taken off and be like, I'll put it back on. But to be like, hey, look at this face. I'm going to wear it. Mm. That's, it's gross. That's gross.
I would
self-esteem issues right there.
Definitely. Wear your own face.
Yes. I did want to read
kids out there.
I did want to read this line about Gotham. Croc is saying that Gotham was so bad because it sits right on top of hell.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Like, damn, Croc.
I don't know if that's geologically true, but it's
right.
It's a great opinion.
It seems like it could be true.
Well, you know, I don't know.
You know what they say? Feelings aren't facts. That's what they say.
Nice. Oh, that's nice. Okay. Wow. That's often not true.
I just killed the podcast.
Yeah. You're always talking about your feelings.
Well, it's actually a therapy term I heard my ex-girlfriend tell me. I was like, shut up. Feelings are facts. That's how I feel. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh. She would tell that to you? Wow, that was...
She was like, you know, feelings aren't facts. I was like... Oh, my God. Then what do we... Like, what? Let's talk about math, then.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want?
Oh, how did that...
Sounds like you guys had a great relationship.
Well, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. And now you're dating a mathematician.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm dating a math... Exactly.
Were you only talking about math?
A calculator.
Yeah.
With a wig.
Great. Yeah, you turn it over, it spells boobs.
That's right.
Let's move on to talk about our next book, Amazing Spider-Man number 5.
Yeah.
Speaking of surprising sexual encounters, Peter Parker...
This is what you guys wanted. Peter Parker having relationships... So I hope you all are happy
I thought they stopped relationships.
Well,
they went to Satan and reverse engineered relationships or something.
Yeah.
They did. That's Mephisto. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Say Mephisto.
Yeah. Mephisto.
I like
that.
That's
a pissed off. They went to Mephisto and he canceled all relationships.
Right.
That's serious relationships.
In the Marvel Universe.
So you can still have one night stands in the universe though.
Damn. Yeah. And look at it. Talk about masks. He's wearing a Spider-Man mask on his face while he's naked having sex.
There's nothing wrong. I do that.
Keep your mask on.
We do that.
Your mask on.
But he should wear a Joker face, I think.
That's a tough hookup.
That's leveling up. That'll be next issue.
Yeah, right.
Great crossover. There's separate. Yeah, okay.
Most recently in Spider-Man, Peter Parker has come back. Doc Ock was running his body because his brain was inside of him. And
because of comics.
Because of comics.
Comics, that's why.
That's why we love comics. That is why we love comics. Okay.
It's
true. It is true.
Is it?
Yes, it
so.
Is. No one else just said the sentence I said in the world unless they're reading comics.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not like they're like, oh, well, Vladimir Putin, his body was taken over by another Russian
right.
guy.
Right. And they'd be like, comics.
Yeah, right. comics.
Okay.
Spider-Man, it was recently revealed that the spider that bit Peter Parker then went and bit another person.
Yeah.
A girl.
Who right. she's been locked in a basement
and
for 10 years.
And she's been locked in a basement. And they met and instantly started
making out.
Yeah. It's like if you get bit by a mosquito and that mosquito bites someone else, you best be kissing
yeah.
them.
Yeah, exactly.
So Dan Slott's been reading Sex Criminals.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, slam. yeah. And this character...
It's kind of like online dating. You find something in common and then you meet up with somebody and you just make out. You're
it's like J-Date or yeah. Spidey Date.
Spider Date.
Yeah. Wait, a spider bit you too? Oh my God!
I think we were bitten by the same spider.
I have a boner.
Yeah. I have a boner. We have that in common.
Yeah. So, you have a boner too?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
But I would like to say, other than the makeout bullshit, I really enjoyed.
I think you
Black Cat, being a badass. I thought this was like an awesome.
Yeah, a fan of that. I like Black Cat being friendly to Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really like her. And the fact that she's so mad, it's tough.
Is that because of the other girl, then? No.
There's a whole story.
She hasn't put that together yet.
When Dr. Octopus was in Spider-Man's body, he screwed her over pretty
When
bad.
He was in Spider-Man's body, he screwed her over.
You can read into that whatever you
That's
want,
what
but
I heard.
It's not. He hasn't been. Dan Slott hasn't been reading Sex Criminals for that long.
Oh, okay.
We'll see where it goes.
Okay. But, can we talk a little bit about the last page, though?
On the last page, J. Jonah Jameson he recently got like a talking head show on the equivalent to CNN in the comic book world.
I think it's called Comic Book CNN. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, right, definitely. Which that's the regular CNN. More people would watch.
CNN.
And they're about to, Black Cat is about to unmask Spider-Man on his show.
Right. But the problem I have with this is like, we've already had this. Like, people know. It's hard to get it again.
As a reader, of comics for a long time, a veteran, you know that he's not going to do that. Like, you know there's got to be a twist.
No.
Right.
Pete takes the ride every single time. Pete believes it. And you know what? I got to say, I give you credit for it, too.
Wait.
Because that's why Pete just said, we got to talk about that last page.
We got to talk about it.
They're not going to reveal, and you're like, we got to talk about it.
You're saying that they're definitely not going to reveal?
I would say almost 100%.
Really?
I think Pete might be the bottom of Comic Book Live. Comic Book Club Live.
He's the bottom? Sorry, the bottom. I see.
I'm just saying, he's taking the ride.
No, says the audience member. No, I think you're...
It's Dan Slott. He made me say that.
Yeah, okay. But I know. He's always in.
He drinks tears.
What? I think that...
You don't remember that?
You're the pure fan. You're the pure fan.
Somebody's got to be.
You take the ride every single time. Someone's got to be, yeah.
Yep.
So you think they're going to reveal his face?
It looks like they are. I mean, he's right there.
It's almost as if they want you to come back and see him.
It's almost like they want you to buy the next issue.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say that
that's
what they're
doing. You got to buy the next issue. You got to see what happens.
All right, you know what? How much you want to bet? Like $100?
I don't have that kind of money.
Oh, wait, no. $100 goes to whoever wins goes to the ALS.
ALS. Oh, and by the way, I think you have to dump the ice water.
Right? Yeah, you do.
I got challenged by Riley Brown to do the ALS, but I had to do it on video, and I have a whole shtick.
A couple iPhones.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure we got a couple iPhones.
I got a whole shtick.
The audience just reached for their phones.
And we all have phones, don't we? We live in surveillance society.
I think so. So, we'll just see how the rest of the show goes.
Okay.
I've been really liking this book. I think this new character is really interesting, and it's setting up the Spider-Verse, which where they're going to have every single iteration of Spider-Man ever come back.
Right.
Including Spider-Ham.
Ham, which I'm excited about.
Yep. Any sort of spider character. Maybe the spider.
If you have Spider-Ham,
spider
you got to have Peter Parker.
I believe it's the same person.
No, it can't be.
you're too deep. You don't believe that. Well, tune in next week, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about another comic. All New X-Men number 30.
Yeah.
A very popular title featuring X-Men that deceptively not new. They're very old.
Yeah, they
it's
are pretty old.
It's actually sort of a trick title.
Yeah.
They are the original X-Men brought forward into the modern world. You got Angel out on a date with X-23, Wolverine's female.
You know what I like about that pairing?
What?
Is it's very yin and yang. You know, you got the kind of the guy who, you know, is very positive, sees things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got this dark X-23. So I kind of like that matchup.
Yeah. Opposite the track.
Also, you have like a really amazing anti-fight at the end of this issue.
White Queen is doing a sort of psychic battle against a young Jean Grey.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And she's like replaying her and Scott Summers hooking up. And, you know, young Jean Grey is like, fuck you. Yeah.
She replays it on Beta, too.
Which is really...
Actually, did you remember that Thor story that Matt Fraction wrote where it's like Thor versus Silver Surfer and then Galactus versus Odin? And at one point, and like Thor and Silver Surfer punching each other, like they'll be in space and then Thor will punch Silver Surfer and he'll land on Mars and skid off Mars. And so this is big epic fight. And then they look up and they just see Odin and Galactus standing there. And they're like, what are they doing? And the other guy says, they're fighting. And then you go inside their minds and they're totally fucking with each other. And I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
So that actually, what you just described here reminded me of that scene.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is very cool. That's how I fight in bars as well. I lose everything.
It looks like you lose.
Yeah, exactly. It looks, but I'm winning the psychic battle.
Yeah, that's right. Meanwhile, you pan right, and I'm actually losing because I'm having a fight.
You're fighting.
You're fighting, you're fighting Galactus, who is just eating your face. This book, we talked about the last issue of this, and I had a complaint that a lot of Bendis' writing feels like you're just eating, like, junk food. And you're just like, oh...
Which was a fucked up thing to say to Bendis.
Well, I don't know. I think he can take it. He's pretty successful. Where you're sort of like, you get a couple scenes here, but it feels like the story isn't moving along. Like, in Uncanny X-Men, there's been this thing like, oh, we're going to read Charles Xavier's Last Will and Testament.
Right.
That's the cover of the issue from 2 months ago, and they still have not. They gathered everyone there twice, and they just got into a room, and that's to read a legal document. Talk about a. Do you think they're going to read the will?
They better.
Talk about a. Are you worried about it? I want every sentence. top to bottom.
So yeah, they stop this mind fight to be like, "Hey guys, we got to go read the will."
Yeah, I know.
So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned for the legal.
Everybody grab a seat.
But I will say, in sort of response to what I said for that last issue, I still like reading all these issues. Like, there's a great scene. The scene between X-23 and Angel's great. The scene between Kitty Pryde and Peter Quill is great. Like, it's...
Well, Guardians,
the characters are always doing interesting things.
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to do a monthly comic book. I don't know how people do monthly comic books for years and years and years. And I think what they've done is they adopted years ago that manga style of going glacial. So what used to be what we got as comic books in the 80s or 70s or 60s, where a lot was packed into 20 pages, they've now expanded that to 6 issues, those 20 pages.
Right.
Okay. So as long as you have a cool scene...
That's the richest person in the
audience.
You're
paying $4... You're paying $4 for a scene is what you're getting, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's
Bendis
how Shakespeare made
good.
His money.
Well, he's like, Bendis is like the mammoth of comic book writing. You know, he can really stagger a certain rhythm and you get into it, like he says,
like
junk food.
Yeah.
And he's very good at that.
Yes.
And little by small, you will get a story in a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know? But you got to pay for it.
You got to pay for it, and you get little treats every now and again. And he's very smart where he puts...
Well, it's like he's roofing you and you're going to get a reach around in 2 years.
I know. Well... I cannot wait. I am due in like a
due
month.
Due for a reach around.
Yeah, so I look at Bendis.
I don't know why you guys are excited about that.
There's nothing more the best Marvel satisfied character is a post-coital Bendis read.
That put that on a dust jacket somewhere.
I don't know.
Post-coital Bendis. What a sad...
T-shirts.
Yes. All new X-Men. What a satisfying reach around. Comics are for kids. Let's talk about one last book. Dark Ages number one from Dark Horse Comics came out this week by Dan Abnett and INJ Coolbard.
Great jumping on point here.
Oh, this is the Guardians of the Galaxy guy, right?
It is. One of the Abnett Lanning. Yeah.
Right.
So the premise of this book is that it's a bunch of dudes in the Dark Ages. They're like knights.
Right.
And they're
wandering
around.
That's kind of what they were back then.
Yep. They're wandering around, and they're like, man, we need a job. I hope there's another war soon. is what like what their philosophy is, which I thought was
it's like the Hurt Locker.
Yeah, it's essentially it's a long Hurt Locker, except there's a bunch of alien dragons that
yeah,
land.
That, those are the bombs that they got to defuse.
Yeah, and they and start to do battle. And I just picked this up because I like Dan Abnett, but the scene when the aliens land and they look like dragons, I was like, ah. Oh. Nice.
Yeah, it all kind of collided.
Because knights fought dragons.
They did. But were they fighting dragons or were they aliens, bro, the whole time?
That's what this book presupposes.
But I would like to say that, like, as far as, you know, I've read so many first issues. I love how this issue starts. Like, he starts deep talking about God and, like, it's really amazing and brings you just this great point for this beginning of this story. And then you have, like, the creepy guy in the castle who's like, they're here. And he's all excited, and then he's like, oh,
like
fuck.
Celebrating
yeah,
him.
Yeah. Would you say that the scene that you read in the beginning kind of gets you insight into the characters you're about to watch do things? Because I remember feeling that way with Reservoir Dogs, with the whole tipping, you know, at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You learn everything you need to know about everybody in that scene, and then the rest of the movie unfolds.
Yeah.
It was a good device.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, they tell a sort of a dirty story about Madonna in this as well. And then they cut the ear off the dragon. So it's, I don't know.
But they don't show you the cutting off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's very artful. Yeah, it's very artfully done.
Yeah, I mean, it starts about saying, like, you know, he's like, I don't believe in God because I never wanted to owe him. You know what I mean? That, like, says so much about somebody. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
And plus these dragons, so that's cool, too.
Yeah, you like dragons.
Yeah,
fun fact.
I guess we just switched brains, speaking of that, very briefly. All right, guys, that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Boom. Comics reviewed and talked about. Let's move on to our next section, which is our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's our audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm going to pop out into you guys and say, hey, if you have a question for any one of us or all of us collectively about anything that we have going on in our lives,
yeah,
obviously,
or about somebody's Emmy or anything like that.
Emmy winning. I'm getting married. Pete's missing my wedding. So there's a lot of topics on the table. Does anyone have a question? Yes, you, sir. Please say your name and tell us your question.
I'm Kirk Christensen. And,
hey, Kirk.
I have a two-part question.
Yes.
Number one, we keep hearing about this Emmy, so we didn't actually talk about why you won an Emmy.
Oh.
Ooh.
Part two is you did the Batman 66, which was a digital first or a guided view native comic. Was there anything you did differently to approach that?
Okay, good questions.
A couple of great questions. I feel like he maybe knows a lot about you.
Yeah.
First off,
he might be a plant.
So I won an Emmy for my work on, well, the opening credit sequence to Bored to Death, HBO's Bored to Death. That was a TV show created by my good friend Jonathan Ames, who I befriended years ago, and then we did a graphic novel called The Alcoholic together for Vertigo.
Thank you. Great book.
And we've also done other minor collaborations, and then when he wrote this short story called Bored to Death that I think appeared in McSweeney's, a TV producer optioned it, and back then in the literary version, it was a singular character that went through a story, you know, an event. And they said, well, for the TV show, we develop it, we need other minor characters. So he created two other characters.
Never minor characters.
No, actually, it's not minor. You're right. In Bored to Death, it was basically a trio.
Yeah, for sure.
And the Zach Galifianakis character, Ray Houston, did a comic called Super Ray, and it was loosely based on me, because if you've met me for 5 minutes, I'm not a pothead. But not that there's anything wrong with that. Arlen.
Play it cool with your fan base, bro.
Yeah, right. But I do cry a lot. So anyway, but I did the artwork for his character and also the what do you call it? The main key art frames for the opening credit sequence because I'm not an animator. And then that went up and got nominated and won. And that was a lot of fun. And I got to go and I had to borrow my friend's suit because I don't own one. And so anyway, that was for Bored to Death, which is a great series. It was three seasons. And Jonathan Ames has written the Bored to Death movie, which would have basically been season four, compacted into 2 hours. And so that's being considered to be shot for HBO.
Oh,
and now Jonathan is actually doing a new TV show called Blunt Talk, starring Patrick Stewart for Starz. And he's right now in California writing the first season to be start shooting, I believe, in January in California.
Wow. Nice.
And the second part was Batman 66. So, you know, there is, like, is there a difference in terms of doing a comic for digital first and then goes into print? Yes and no. I think there were a lot more interesting things happening in web comics before it became a digital kind of delivery system, because there was like the infinite palette or the infinite space,
right,
where you could actually go all the way to the right forever. There was a comic that was like that, or Ulysses Farinas, when he did a comic called Motro for Activate, literally had these pages that went down for eons and eons while a character fell, and it was beautiful. And I always wondered, how would you print that? Do you, you know, is it a fold-out or what? You know. So anyway, with the way that they're doing it over at DC right now is, you know, you're stacking two halves that you would see online, you know, like you're taking the top half of a comic book page and you're putting, you know, a line on there, and then you're showing that up as one page. And then you're taking those two and you're stacking them to get your one print page, right? But they're doing this thing called enhanced panels. So what happens is once in a while, a character might move, or you have to draw a panel that does something a little bit different. I call that poor man's animation, okay? I'm personally not interested in that. Sorry. I did the extra work. I got compensated for it. And I think that those are the certain bells and whistles that I think right now that they're doing. When I say they, I don't mean DC Marvel. I mean comics in general, to get you to read these things online. So you get this extra special experience,
yeah,
where the balloons are popping up. And then, you know, a character might move. But then you get the static version in the print. So you get both, you know, kinds. I think ultimately that will fade unless... there's a narrative purpose to do those kinds of things.
Man, talk to Riley Brown. He's the king of that.
Riley Brown.
He actually crushes. I mean, he's great at having people pour ice on their head.
Yeah.
But he's also like...
He's actually one of the better ones. He really thinks about how that works almost in a kind of James Bond credit sequence way.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Well, it has a reason. It has a reason. It's a real formatted idea.
And he does a lot of extra work, and it actually doesn't... I mean, it looks really good online, and then you get half that experience in print, you know?
Exactly.
So there are ways to do it, and Riley is one of the best ones. In fact, he did Power Play with the guy who just asked me the question, Kurt Christensen.
The guy gets around.
Riley is a little whore.
It's a leading question.
It was a leading question. But, no, I mean, in my experience, listen... I'm used to trying to figure out how to tell a story in static images. You know that gutter between the panels? That's where time hops for a second, okay?
Mm-hmm, right.
If I was personally to really investigate this kind of what to do, I would go into the gutter behind the panel and see what's happening, what's lurking, what's hiding behind the panels. And it's very Grant Morrison in that way, you know? Or like the Ben Day dots, what's happening when you get really close to them, that kind of stuff. I'd play around
with
that.
That's a great idea for someone to exploit in a digital comic.
I think so.
Like if you open, you know, when you like reverse pinch on your iPhone, just get inside.
I can't look at the way you're doing that right now.
Oh, you don't like that?
I can't look at that.
I have a couple of GIFs I'll send you if you're doing that. You're going to really like them. And so, Pete, and you should know about digital comics, you only have to do one sit-up because it just moves.
Oh, right. So that's great
to know,
yeah.
Who else has a question? Anyone here in the crowd with a question of anything at all? Yes, you, sir, in the front row.
So now that summer's wrapping up and we've had a bunch of blockbuster movies, some good, some bad, what was your favorite? What was the biggest surprise, and what was the most disappointing?
Ooh.
Great. Favorite, biggest surprise, most disappointing. Obviously, Pete's favorite, Boyhood. Biggest surprise, Boyhood.
I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be amazing. I was very happy with that. The biggest surprise for me was Captain America. I didn't know it was going to be amazing.
No spoilers on that. I haven't seen that one yet.
I haven't seen anything.
No. I just talk in generality.
I would blurt.
Real purist.
Biggest disappointment.
You've been disappointed so often.
Yeah. I like Expendables 3, so I'm going to say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Makes a lot of sense,
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah.
That's not a surprise. As far as comic book movies go, I thought Guardians was, that was my favorite, sort of the perfect sort of fun summer movie.
Yeah.
Biggest surprise would be that I still haven't seen Captain America 2.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah,
thank you. Me too.
So, Dean, we share that.
He hosts a comic book talk show.
Well,
you know, there's a dating site for the people who haven't seen Captain America.
Yeah, exactly. It's the only. There's only four of us on the site. Everyone else has seen it. And
you're marrying one of them.
Yeah, right. That's how we get it. That's how we met. Oh boy, if we watch it, end of relationship.
Yeah.
And biggest disappointment. I don't know. I still haven't seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I can't even make fun of you for saying that. So I thought I haven't been disappointed at all. Actually, I saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that was fun, right? That was fun.
Yeah, we had a great movie experience.
Yeah, we did.
Pete went to see Hercules, and I went to see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Come on, I don't regret it at all.
Honestly, it was his birthday, and I was like, "Let's go see a movie." We get there, he's like, oh, "I've got a ticket for Hercules," and I was like, "Well, we're going to see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. That's what my ticket's for." Yes. He's like, "Well, I'll see you later."
That's not how it went down.
That is how it went down. And then he texts me afterwards, and he's like, "Are you still in the movie?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, I'm going home."
That's not how it happened either.
Fucking yeah.
You peaced right afterwards. Wow. I stuck around and waited.
Yeah, right.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. Whoa, cool it. Dean, do you have an answer?
Real quick, I don't go to movies a lot because I don't have the time and I can't afford them.
Because it's $80 a movie?
It's too expensive. I did see Guardians of the Galaxy, and I really enjoyed that for the nostalgia factor. The fact that it's a movie, without spoiling, about losers that become friends. I really love that. And I was blown away by Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. That first half hour, my heart was in my throat.
Yeah, wow. So cool.
It was like a beautiful silent film.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Couldn't disagree with you more.
You didn't see it.
I saw it.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah. I eventually saw it. Not with this
asshole. So what happened?
What? You saw it afterwards?
Wow.
You could have seen it with me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't want to see it. Didn't want to waste that. It was my birthday. Why should I go see a movie I don't want to see?
You also saw.
I eventually saw it.
How do you have...
But
how,
on my,
how are you
on my,
friends
I wanted
anybody?
To see Hercules.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, if you go to another fucking wedding during my wedding, I'm going to be pissed. You have a question, sir?
Yes. Hi, I'm Arlen Schumer.
Hey, Arlen.
Hey, Dean. You've gotten a chance to play with some of your favorite characters, like Fantastic Four and the Fox. Is there a major character at, like, say, DC and Marvel that you would love to work on?
Well, just to push the FF thing, I still feel like I have a lot more. In fact, I pitched an idea that would be kind of, even though I was naysaying the whole Apocalypse thing, I have a really awesome idea for Fantastic Four that's kind of like Days of Future Past, that kind of rejiggers and resets the entire Marvel Universe.
Whoa.
That I told Mark Waid about, and he was blown away. So I don't know what's going on with FF at Marvel these days, really, but when they really decide, okay, we're going to continue, you know, they are publishing a FF comic, as we know. And then there's that whole rumor about, you know, they don't want to do as much because Fox holds a license or whatever in terms of the ancillary in the movies.
That seems weird to me. I do think they've made Reed Richards into a sort of a dark character.
He's become darker.
Yeah.
And I think that they're doing that to get light again. I assume that's the wave, you know. But I have a really good idea that I would love to pitch and then do. But ultimately, what I'd want to do is bring back Marvel 2-in-1 because the Thing is my favorite character.
Oh, hell yeah.
But having said that, the DC character I have to do one day is OMAC.
OMAC? Really?
Yes.
What about OMAC are you drawn to?
Well, one, the Mohawk, the fact that, like, I've already co-plotted the lost ninth issue of Jack Kirby's run with Nick Bertozzi.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Where we introduce OWAC.
Okay.
Okay.
Good idea.
You know what OMAC means is one man Army Corps.
Yeah.
One woman Army Corps. And then I just such a great character. When I read the origin of him, which was basically it was Jack Kirby's idea of a future Captain America, I was like, damn, there's so much. And plus, when you read those old comics, he basically is predicting the future through those wacky ideas. He was throwing everything in the kitchen sink at that comic book. So that's a character I love. I mean, I love lots of little. I mean, I like Metamorpho.
Good character.
You know, I'd be scared to really do a Batman comic or a Superman comic. I just feel they're too iconic for me.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like I could probably take a handle. I could handle, like, the Ramona Fraiden characters, you know, as it were. So, you know, and I love her. I love her stuff.
Great. We have time for one more question. Is anyone with you, sir? Over here on the side.
This is also for Dean. You have done a lot of work on Batman 66, and I was wondering, what are the rules, because it's not in the mainstream DC universe, what are you allowed to do? What are you allowed to include? Does it have to be only things that were in the TV show, or what is that reality?
That's a good question, and everyone knows Matt Towson, who does, what's the name of your show?
Wow.
Matt Towson's Downtown
Variety.
Calling
out the audience members. Great.
Which I was on recently. It was a lot of fun, and it's a great show. So, Batman 66.
Are you guys going to make
What are you allowed to do? Yeah. Well, does anybody know or read the comics news on a regular basis?
Yeah.
I did Batman 66 number 13 in the print version, which was like number 30-something in the digital version. I originally drew a story for Batman 66 number 2. That's sitting on my hard drive, okay? Why is it sitting on my hard drive? It was written by Jeff Parker, illustrated by me, and it features the villainy of Killer Croc.
Ah.
Now, Killer Croc was created after 1966. Oof. It was never on the TV show. It was approved, written, drawn, everything. And then a guy, a big cheese at DC, is walking through the office and says, oh, that looks like Killer Croc in Batman 66. What's he doing in there? And then the editor is like, what are you talking about? Like, that was part of the pitch to do the series. The fans even asked for a Killer Croc story. What's the problem? He's like, well, he wasn't on the TV series, and da-da-da, blah, blah, blah. And so the directive was, let's first play with all the characters that would have been on the TV show. So it got pushed to the side, and then it's been sitting there for a while, okay? And apparently what might set the precedent of being able to publish it now is the fact that, I don't know if you heard about this announcement, but Harlan Ellison wrote the Two-Face episode for Batman 66 that never got shot because they thought that kids would think that that character, Two-Face, was too scary to look at. In fact, I heard that they were going to cast Clint Eastwood to play Two-Face, which I think would have been brilliant.
Holy shit. Imagine that.
That would have been brilliant. Anyway, with that in mind, the fact that they're publishing that story might allow this Killer Croc story and other villains and other characters to be in Batman 66. Meanwhile, I did ask the editor at some point, I want to do a Batman 66 story that stars Ma Parker and Mr. Freeze, because Shelley Winters and now I'm forgetting his name, the director, Nehemiah Persoff, who played was one of the guys who played Mr. Freeze, taught me how to swim. And I want to do a story.
How did two people teach one person how to swim?
Come on, man. I don't remember. Blow bubbles and kick. What do you want?
I guess. You'd think so, one of them could take on the responsibility.
You would think. But they two people taught me how to swim. And the reason why I got, for those asking or thinking to ask, Shelley Winters is my godmother, is because she knew my parents, individually introduce them, and I'm here because of Shelley Winters.
Wow. Very cool.
So, there you go.
I mean, it does suck that your Killer Croc story hasn't made it to print, but imagine the person who's had their King Tut story on their hard drive for like 30 years. Give them a chance.
For 40 years.
Give
them
a chance to shine. Well, they didn't have a hard drive back then.
That's right. They did.
They had it on a weird notepad for 10 years. And that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to very quickly talk about some things that happened in the week in geek.
Yeah.
In the world of popular geek culture, which is there's hardly a line anymore. One story: The Rock can't decide between playing Shazam or Black Adam, which, as an actor, you don't get that option done. Yeah. I mean, like, which major character in a blockbuster should I play? What do you think, Shazam or Black Adam for The Rock?
Black Adam's the obvious answer because he looks like Black Adam, but he has the humor of Shazam. He really does.
But I want to see him. I want to see him stretch and try to play Black Adam because
you mean about dark?
I think he's played plenty of Black Adam.
I mean, that's
Adam,
old
folks.
Rock could play, you know, with the the cocked eyebrow. Yeah. But there's that cuteness that he does. That he's adorable. You know, so he can. Maybe he'll play both.
Oh,
right!
Hell of a
stunt.
They
got the tech.
Anybody have a strong opinion on the audience? The Rock, don't care.
Don't care.
Shazam. I mean, he's the star. He's the tooth fairy. He's got a brightness to him.
That's not bad. Now,
Black Adam?
Is William Goldman still writing the screenplay? Because he was originally writing the screenplay years ago.
I think they've at least added some other people to it. I don't.
Okay. Do you all know who William Goldman is?
Misery, he's a screenwriting legend.
Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and tons of great movies.
That movie was amazing.
Very briefly, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has won the weekend box office again. So they've decided they're going to just go back and erase all the old comics and replace them with these movies.
Do you shut the fuck up?
Yep. Just a little. Ant-Man has just started filming. Is anyone excited about this movie?
Maybe. I like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's cool. I think it's funny that they show the first picture of Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, and he's wearing a hoodie walking in the street. I was like, wow, it's just like Ant-Man.
Yeah, I agree. Like, was that an accident? Because who in their press release was like, yeah, that's good.
There's Ant-Man.
That's a poster image for Ant-Man. He's wandering under a bridge
there
in a hoodie.
Go. Right.
I mean, Paul Rudd, he's very likable.
Yep. Agreed. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. Controversial stance. Michael Douglas is in it. He's insane. That's true. He's been driven crazy.
He got cancer from cunnilingus. He's my man.
Hello. Yep.
that's
why
man.
He's a villain. That's his.
That's
super,
why he's a villain.
That's
right.
His superpower in the movie. And that's it for your audio or for Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna turn it over to the star of trivia, Mr. Pete LePage.
All right, guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand.
It's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, don't just, yeah.
You just got to elevate your hand.
Yeah, yeah. If you, first hand up guy, come on up.
Woo!
Come on up, lobster guy, come on up.
Lobster guy?
Yeah, he's got a lobster on his shirt. What is your name, sir? What is your name, sir?
Hey, guys.
Stand over here so the audience can see you.
All right. I'm just going to block half the panel. Ben Goldsmith. My name is Ben Goldsmith.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
Hey, guys.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 is yours.
Great.
Here we go. As long as you read every comic that came out, you'll be set. In Superman Wonder Woman number 11... we have Nan and Blank released from the Phantom Zone. Is it A, Mongol, B, Lex Luthor, or is it C, Jim Lee's Booberry?
Mongol.
You are correct, sir. Wow, nice job. All right. In Walking Dead number 130, we learn that the walkers can blank. Is it A?
Oh, spoiler. It is a spoiler.
Is it A, read minds, B, talk to each other, or is it C, turn into Shazam?
Talk to each other.
Yes, you are correct. All right, number three. In Captain America number 23, who is missing from this issue? Is it A, Captain America, B, Iron Man, or is it C, Dancing Groot? So it's probably the first one.
Captain America.
Yes, you are correct, sir. $25 free. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations, man. He did not need you to help him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real
fan. Well, the last one a little bit, but yeah, this guy knew his shit.
I mean, if he had a second.
Yeah, if he had a second.
If he had
maybe.
A second. It's
maybe.
A high-pressure situation,
it
obviously.
It is high pressure, yeah.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go down to Midtown Comics because they have been kind enough to sponsor our show.
Yeah,
so round of applause for those
guys
folks.
Had no idea what they were signing up for.
I know. They were like, yeah, they'll run for 6 months. Pete, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I am looking forward to Daredevil number 7.
Ooh, please tell us why.
Well, it's been pretty amazing.
Great.
I don't know if you've been reading it. Have you heard of this Mark Waid guy? He's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
He's the best.
He's the best.
He is a super nice, amazing gentleman.
I'm looking forward to Supreme Blue Rose number 2.
Ooh.
Cool book Warren Ellis is doing. The art's amazing. It's a very surprising take on Supreme. It's very cool. Pick it up.
I'm looking forward to a lot of comics, but can I name three real quick?
You're in the power seat.
Multiversity number 1. 'Cause
certainly.
Grant Morrison continues to Entertain, always.
Did you see that ad in the comic?
Yeah, don't buy the comic.
It says, don't buy the comic. Don't buy I was the like, comic. All right, Grant, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, well, it's like a six-page ad. So
hello.
I feel like that.
And with the artists he's working with, including Frank Quitely, who basically, arguably,
I mean, come on.
They created the 12 best issues of Superman ever
made.
Yeah,
that is true.
So,
the Superman shirt loves it.
That's
yeah.
I Hip Hop Family Tree Volume 2.
Very good as well. Yeah.
And Piss Corps. Okay. Because I grew up in that, you know, in that time, and those were some of the first vinyl records I ever bought was rap records before it was called hip hop. And I really love that stuff. And then an old pal of mine, Michel Fife, has been writing All Star Ultimate. Wait, what's it called? The All New Ultimates. Sorry.
Nat Towson coming
Matt
up.
Nat Towson knows his shit.
So, you know, I mean, I got to give a shout-out to my old peeps like that. You know?
You got it.
So, anyway, those are the three that I'm, including Daredevil, of course, by my good friend.
Yeah, it's by no means an exclusive list.
No, of course
by
not.
No means, you can pick up as many comics as you want, as your budget allows.
Exactly.
And plug some of your stuff, Dean. We've talked about some of it, but give us the
I think
full...
we covered most of my stuff. I'm trying to think what's coming out. I guess the... Say that? Sensation. Sensation will be out, I think, November. It's issue number 4. I think the first issue is coming out soon, and currently the Fox Freak Magnet collection, Fear My Dear, A Billy Dogma Experience, please, because that's my little baby, and I hope to do more. And you know what's coming up? Like, actually, you know what's important to me? SOS, Save Our Schmuck. My good studio mate, Seth Kushner, recently got hit with leukemia, and he's currently in the hospital battling leukemia right now. So we're doing a benefit for him at Union Hall on August 26th, coming up soon. And if y'all could make it to that, or if you can't, and you can discover the page on Facebook or wherever we're pimping it, there is a donation box. He's going through a tough time, and he's been drawing superheroes every day for his son, and he's a great guy. And he did a Kickstarter for his comic book, Schmuck, which is a lot of fun, which will be available at some point soon once he gets better. So, if you know, we could support Seth Kushner, that'd be great.
And it's at Union Hall, the 26th?
Union Hall on the 26th, yes.
At
7 p.m.
7 p.m.? Awesome.
Cool.
Great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the show. We'd like to thank a couple people for coming out. Mr. Dean Haspiel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pete, what do we got to talk about?
Friend us on Facebook so you can know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. A special thanks to Midtown Comics for sponsoring our show, our lovely interns. Please follow us on all these different social media things. And, of course, you guys, our lovely audience, we're here every Tuesday at 7
everybody.
Here at Fontana's in New York City. Please tell your friends good night.
Thank you.